Welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Ashley Jones returns to The Bold and the Beautiful, Billy Flynn exits Days of Our Lives, General Hospital recasts Jordan, and Devon wants revenge on Lily on The Young and the Restless. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Welcome.
What's up?
Joshua Baldwin, welcome.
Hello.
Well, it's been a busy few weeks in soaps. I've been traveling, and we have had a couple of other things going on, so we haven't been able to record a regular episode. We hope you enjoyed the two-part 900th episode, but it's going to be fun to discuss some soaps. So let's talk a little bit about The Bold and the Beautiful before we move on to the ones that are really juicy. Ashley Jones. Ashley Jones is returning to The Bold and the Beautiful. Jillian, you looking forward to it?
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see her back. I think it's because of Hope's, spoiler alert, upcoming nuptials to Liam. Boy, I tell you, that boy's like a ping pong. I do want to know how they're going to put things, like what's Bridget up to. Is she still with Owen? Is Owen still out in that universe? So we'll see.
Or do you think that they'll treat her a little bit like they do Felicia?
I hope they don't treat her like Felicia.
Well, we'll see. Josh, I always love seeing Ashley Jones on The Bold and the Beautiful. What would you like to see happen?
I don't honestly have too much of an opinion here, because I mean I liked her on Bold and the Beautiful, but it seems like she's only coming back for a short time, maybe. I don't know if there's a wedding coming up or something to that effect that she's coming back for, but I'm always glad to see familiar faces. I would just really be happier if they would use the faces they had, but that's just me. But I like Ashley Jones.
Hey, if Bridget comes back, like drops a bomb and exits stage left, then hey, that would be fun. If she's just there to like be there for the wedding as background, it's not quite as fun, but hopefully they will capitalize on it. Let's talk a little bit about what's actually going on our screens. Liam, Hope, and Steffi. Josh, why don't you take this?
Oh, Lord. Well, I guess I'm very happy that we're not, that Steffi's had her I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar moment, and did not go down the path with a dollar bill, and had that very odd scene, I suppose, that's historical in some respects, where she took the ring off of her finger and put it on Hope's. I found that very weird.
Creepy
as hell.
It really was odd. I got it, but I almost felt like Steffi and Hope were engaged. Liam
now
just sitting back there.
Now that would make Bold and the Beautiful interesting.
It would. Hope and Liam didn't really seem to know what to do, and Steffi just kind of did it, and it just felt weird. I don't know. It also felt weird, to be honest, to me, because as much as I love the fact that Steffi didn't marry Bill and that she's kind of divorcing herself from Liam and Hope and that kind of stuff, it felt like we were supposed to be excited that Steffi has now discovered it's past 1988, because this doesn't feel new or groundbreaking or anything. It feels like soap opera storyline we saw in the late 80s, where women discovered that they didn't need men to be CEOs of companies and live their lives. I'm excited by it, but it felt like we were supposed to be all excited, but I thought this should have happened years ago.
But is anybody supposed to actually be excited at recycling?
Well, tell me what you mean, recycling.
Well, I know Mike is hard on Bold and the Beautiful. I know I'm hard on The Bold and the Beautiful. But the thing that drives me the most insane about The Bold and the Beautiful, it seems like it's always the same story with just a slightly different paint job. And like you were talking about ping pongs for a moment, like my grandparents had a ping pong table when we were a kid, and one of the things that would sometimes happen is you'd smash a ball, and like when you said ping pong, my immediate mind went to, I wonder when Liam's balls are finally going to get smashed, because it's just repetitive.
It is repetitive. I agree. Well,
okay, bring it home. Yeah, bring it home, Luke. Okay. I'm a way in here.
Please.
In a way, I was kind of like conflicted when Steffi, with the Steffi and Bill thing. Thought they were going to go there. I was like, oh shit, they're going to go there. Because I was like, it's ick factor, but it's good soap if Steffi marries Bill and becomes this power hungry bitch on wheel stepmother to Liam, and she does not love Bill. Bill knows she does not love him. You know, she gives Bill a little. Bill gives her a little power, and she does shit like, you know, they're in the board meeting for Hope for the Future, and she just like trashes it. Or Liam's at Spencer, and any type of thing that he wants done, she shuts it down. Or, you know, she makes sure that he's like her underling or something. Like, I thought they were going to go classic old school and just have her be a bitch on wheels with that.
I did too.
And ride the wheels on that sucker. I was like, oh my God. But then when she told Bill, you know, no, I'm not going to, I'm getting off this merry-go-round. I am not doing this with you. I thought, okay, I kind of like the fact that, you know, a woman isn't just gonna be all, oh, I have to marry him and you know, and just be his bad wench, if you will. I thought, okay, she's taking the power back. I love the fact that she told Liam, you know, I'm getting off this merry-go-round. I kind of wish they would have had, instead of her doing this whole ring thing with Hope, because I thought, you're kind of creepy, chick. I thought they were going to do something where Steffi would say, you know, I'm going to be a better role model to my daughter because she deserves better and I deserve better. I should not have to chase after you for scraps. And she like throw a little dig at Hope and be like, any self-respecting woman shouldn't chase after you for scraps. Uh-huh. You need to know who you want and when you want. Every time something doesn't work out for you, you run to someone else and you want to get married. Like, what is your deal with wanting to be married all the time? Like, I wanted her to like read Liam and just be like, I'm too good for this shit. Mm-hmm. I mean, she sort of kind of, but she didn't. Like, I wanted like, B&B still has this antiquated model where they think everybody has to get married. Like, I want to get married and get some beans in this oven. It's like, no, like I wanted Steffi to just be like, you know, I deserve better. My daughter deserves better. I can't be a good role model for my daughter by showing her when the wind blows your way, I should take you back, or I should expect you to take me back. Like, no, that's not the type of example I want for her. I want her to see that, you know, I just wanted them to go there. And they kind of shortchanged us with it. And I was really kind of bummed about that. And when Hope was all pressuring Liam, like, I was like, girl, you should have been like, it should have been a moment where Hope was like, you know what? You're right, Steffi.
Yep.
And she just be like, I don't want your ass neither. Like, just the other day you were going to marry this girl. And then before that, you were going to marry me. Like, I don't need, and for Liam to be like, what about our child? I don't need you. I don't need a ring from you for you to provide for my child, because I would have liked it to be more real life. And for her to be like, because you will be paying child support. Mm-hmm. And she have some papers drawn up what's that child name? Not Justin. Oh, Lord. What's the other brother who's a lawyer? The slowful one who's a lawyer. What's his name? Carter.
I wanted to say Lawrence, but I was like, that's not right.
No. For Carter to come in there with them papers, and she'd be like, ah, I drew up custody agreements, and I drew up child support. And for Liam to be like, I don't get a say. No, you have too much of a damn say. Like, I would have loved for that to happen and for them to just clear the playing field and for Liam to finally be like, well, shit, you know, for them to finally be like, we tired of your ass. And then just go from there. Like, I don't understand why they keep having this dude just get off scot-free with the antics that he pulls. Like, I did like when Bill was like, you are always pitting these bitches against each other. Like, to me, I felt as though Bill sort of was the voice of reason, and he was speaking for the fans, but they really do need to take it there and have somebody say, Liam, enough. Like, when you can't get your way, you go to someone else, and you inadvertently pit these two women against each other so they could prove to you how much they love you, and then you decide when this one gives enough or does it the way that you want it, you're gonna go pick this one. BMB just lets me down consistently with the fuckery.
I know, I feel like I'm constantly watching Bold and the Beautiful and saying out loud what I wish they were doing. Like, I'm on board with you as far as Steffi is concerned. Even when Bill gave her the shares, I'm with you here. I thought she was going to walk into that room and say, I have these shares, and guess what? And you're fired, and you're fired, and you're fired. Hope for the future? Nope. Bye. Deuces. I wanted kind of her to clean house and just...
Or for her to say, you know, we're going to change things up with Hope for the Future. Let's call it Steffi's Hope for the Future. And for Hope to be like, you know, that Hope for Steffi to be like, not happening this time. For Hope to be like, what do you mean? And for her to be like, no, bitch, you took my man. I'm going to take your line. How about that? Mm-hmm. Like,
That would have been fun. That would have been fun.
That would have been
fun. But meanwhile, we get to watch these three young intern people in what may be one of the... I feel like it's just asinine.
You trying to be all dramatic?
No,
with
like,
the
I'm catching. So the
circle that sucker and land, boy.
So the Bold and the Beautiful is the soap that, because I have the hardest time with it, it's always the last one I watch without question, because I know that I'm going to get the same thing over and over. And then when you turn on the episodes and you're watching them and you're seeing that Emma is being criticized for trying to get Zoe fired, and I'm thinking to myself, wait a second. Wasn't Emma the one who got the job normally? She's not the stalker who's bringing a cat and talking about cats and whether or not they've been gender misidentified. And I'm like, what the world is going on? Why is Zoe all of a sudden the one who's supposedly in the right? And Emma wanting to get rid of this girl who flew over, is encroaching on the guy she's interested in and has had some stalkerish behavior. Why is Emma the one being criticized?
This is my thing with that. They dropped the ball with that too. Like, when they had her jump on that runway, Zoe jump on that runway and whatever, ease on down the yellow brick road and did her thing. I would have liked for the media to be like, who, like, for them to be like outraged, but at the same time, they'd be like, oh my God, can't believe this girl is doing that, but she's saving the show. And they all come to agreement that, okay, you know, she saved the show, but her ass ain't gonna be staying here. But while they're all backstage chattering, the press is just like, who is she? Who is this girl? Does she work for Forrester? And for them to be, for her to be like, yes, and for her to lie her ass on record, for her to say that she works for Forrester, and for them to be like, fuck, like, we can't get rid of this bitch now, because we're going to look crazy that we have some random bitch popping up on stage, that's going to set a precedent. And for them to be like, for them to be kind of stuck with her because she saved the day and the press is just going wild with her. Like, Jared from Eye on Fashion is just like, oh my God, she was just fantastic. And for all the press to just be going crazy, for them to be like, oh my God, did you see what the mag with the trade papers is saying? Do you see what they're saying online? Do you see what they're saying on television? Do you see it? You know, I even heard on the radio as I'm driving in, they're talking about how much of a hit she is. We can't get rid of her now. And for them to be like, well, fuck, we're stuck with her. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, 2 weeks ago, this broad, y'all were ready to throw the book at that bitch. Now y'all offering her jobs? Like, I felt as though... I mean, Emma, she is an intern, so she shouldn't have no sway. But Emma was right when she was like, y'all gonna hire this crazy bitch? And for them to be like, you just have to accept it. I'm like, she just threatened y'all the other day. Ain't no telling, like, what if y'all don't put her in another show? What's she gonna do to y'all? She gonna slash your tires? Like, I did not like that. Like, I would have liked for her to be like, for Steffi to be like, this is an outrage, and for her to chin check Steffi, because I'm so tired of people scared of Queen Steffi. I would have liked for her to be like, let me tell you something, bitch, while you were too busy paying, like, for her to, like, use a little bit of what's going on, like, the gossip that's going on at Forrester, for her to be like, excuse me, I'm sorry, lovey, while you were too busy ping-ponging between your husband and his father, or your father-in-law and his son, or you know, for her to be like, when you're ping-ponging between your husband, you know, your daughter's father and his father, or is it the other way around? I just saved your bloody ass. And for her to just check her heart and be like, look, I could go back out there and tell them no, and I was just did y'all a solid. And for them to be like, we can't do anything because look at the crazy buzz she's getting. And for them to be like, we have no choice, like, we'll give you a temporary deal or something, but this whole you have to just take this and on the chin shit after she's stalking y'all, I'm like, what is this? Like, I don't like that at all. It's just sloppy writing, in my opinion, just to keep her on. They should have had her, you know.
Instead, we had Thorn Rademacher going over to the hotel room.
She said Thorn Rademacher. Shut up.
It was an accident. You can cut it if you want.
No, we'll leave it.
He drives me crazy, though. He went over to the hotel room that Maya and Nicole's parents used to live in, and suddenly decided to hire her out of nowhere. He didn't have any hiring privileges, I don't think.
Chow, okay.
And then, instead of having what you just said, Jillian, was brilliant. That's exactly what I would have had done, is to have Zoe go completely just check Steffi all day long. But we had to sit there and watch that horrible dead cat crap with her and Xander. And I don't.
Zenday Light with Sasha Light.
Yep.
Zenday Light with Sasha Light and Nicole Light.
They're just,
but child, I guess B&B, once again, they switching shit up because, okay, check it. Spoiler alert again. I only say that because I don't know where Luke gonna put this up. Luke will put it up tomorrow. Luke will put it up Thursday. I don't know. But child, so apparently Bill has a problem with Katie dating Thorn. Like, Bill is just like, what the fuck? Like, why are you with this man? And she is just like, bitch, you got some nerve. And Bill is just like, you know, I'm just looking out for you. And my son, like, and he and Thorn get into it over him with Katie. And, you know, Bill, you know, leave it to Bill. I mean, that's the one person they are kind of like writing in character. Bill is just like, he is like, I think Bill calls him like Forrester Light or something like that. Like, he's like, you're not even like, he's like, you're a Forrester, but you're not even like a full, like, you're Forrester Light, like trying to diss him for being a punk. And they just go at it. And there's a rumor floating around. I don't know if it's true, but there's a rumor floating around that Bill is just not here for that relationship. And he tries to go for custody of, like, he and Katie are going to have a custody battle. Now, I'm just like, this sounds juicy. But at the same time, I'm like, Bill, you just wanted to marry your daughter-in-law, like, your granddaughter's mama. Like, you really don't have a leg to stand on, and especially since Katie knows that you blew up Spectra and all that jazz, you really want to take her there? Like, unless they're going to use that somehow or something, I mean, I feel as though him taking them to court is kind of whack. I mean, I like the fact that Bill is going to go up against Thorn, because I'm just like, I feel as though they're going to try to, like, have him paired up with, like, they're going to put him and Katie and Thorn in a triangle this way. But the whole custody thing, I'm like, you really want to go to court to try to fight for somebody, for custody of somebody, when look at all the shenanigans that you pulled. So, but I think that's kind of juicy.
Let's talk a little bit about Days of Our Lives. Billy Flynn is exiting.
Bye, girl.
No, nothing against Billy Flynn. I just feel like Chad and Abby have
consumed way too much time, so I'm looking forward to hopefully there being some sort of relief from that.
Yeah, we know you ain't got nothing against Billy Flynn. You think he walks on water.
No, I don't think he walks on water. I think he's a good actor. Nice. I think he's a decent actor, but I don't... he's not, like, in my must-see list, but I just feel like Chad and Abby have taken up way too much time. Speaking of that storyline, though, Josh... Abby was dealing with some issues. We talked a little bit about that on the Performer of the Week, where you mentioned the scene with Tyler Christopher coming in and Chad not being happy about seeing Stefan touching Abby's stomach. What are you thinking of how that whole story is playing out?
Yeah, I'm more interested in the Tyler Christopher, Stefan checking Chad out in public at Doug's place in front of Chloe. Chloe has, let me just back up here. Chloe has become the best gossip maven of the entire thing. She sits back there behind
that bar. She learned from Julie. You see where she worked at? She learned from Julie, child.
She's sitting back there with those towels, washing those glasses, just listening to the side. And then Eve comes in. She's like, girl, I got to tell you something. She has like become the center of all the gossip in town. But Stefan coming in there and saying he's going to buy a round for everybody because somebody's having his baby. And then he kind of looks at Chloe and whispers and says, it's his wife. And it's really
that was good shade.
It was awesome. Good. It was good. Yeah. And even when the scene when Chad walks in and sees Stefan's hand on Abigail's belly, as she says, even that's good. It does seem to perk up Billy Flynn a little bit. That one particular scene when he was going to try to go after Tyler Christopher, that the snarky sarcasm I think works better. And Tyler Christopher seems to perk up a bit as Stefan when he gets to be snarky as opposed to brooding. So I have enjoyed.
I will agree with you about that with Tyler Christopher, because his scenes with Patch and Kayla were also a little snarky and they were fun, even though I was just thinking Stefan, Catherine, and Nicholas the whole time. But Jillian, what did you think of Chad and Abby?
Yeah, I like him snarky because I'm like, no shade, Tyler, but we've seen the brooding air before over at GH. Like, you know, new trick. You on a new show, you gotta have a new trick, baby. So I like him snarky. The thing about this Chad and Abby thing, it just shows to show you, like, I know some people are gonna be like, bitch, what? Because I don't see it. I'm not here for Abigail. I'm not here for Abigail at all. Mm-mm. But I'm just like, Chad, you are the most selfish little bastard out there. Like, you act as though she wanted to carry this man's child. She didn't actively go out there and purposefully get herself pregnant. It kind of like, it's reminiscent of, and he wasn't around for this, so it's not like, you know, this is not a retreading from a show that he's done. I mean, I gotta sit and think, but no, this reminds me, what I'm saying it reminds me of is when Sammy was pregnant with the twins and EJ was like, you know, I will be with you for whatever, I'm down for whatever. And Lucas was like, I mean, yeah, I'll raise them. But like, Lucas was being a bit of a dick a little bit with her and those babies. It kind of reminds me of that. And I'm like, it's so ironic that, you know, Chad is supposed to be the, quote, good Demare, but he's acting like a good jackass. And Abigail was willing to abort her baby just to please this man. I kind of wish that Abigail would just get some balls and be like, you know what? I didn't mean for this to happen. I didn't plan for this to happen, for her to check him. And, you know, for someone to tell Chad, look, if you don't step up to the plate, Stefan is going to take your woman and run off with her. So you need to get it together. Like, Chad's just such a dick. And I'm like, so whatever. So,
Jillian.
Luke.
Marlena has been doing a fair amount of mewing around John recently. They've been getting some loving in, but she's also been worried about her wedding dress and talking with Kayla about Kayla's issues. But at the same time, she's been missing Sammy. Now, far be it from me to ever get excited about Sammy.
I knew you were going to go there.
But
like,
she's getting mentioned a lot.
I mean, because we know Sweeney's coming back.
Right.
Boy, like, boy, look at here. Like, you damn, like, it could be something where Marlena gets shot in the face. But let's talk about Sammy.
Six degrees of Sammy.
No, it's not. Stop it. I mean, it's a lot of anvils that they're dropping over there. You know, Sammy says she can't come. And I'm like, Sammy, girl, please. You know, so I'm, you know, I know you've been tweet stalking, so I'll say it before you do. But, you know, I had to let Ron know, like, look, I like your writing and dig you and all that and all, you know, you cool and all that. But I'll be damned if Sammy come back with, you know, rapes bun up in her oven. I'm not here for that. No. He is the Latin Mac. He is the Latin Uncle Mac of Salem. And I'm totally fine with that. Like, well, Sammy don't need no more cheering, number one. Mm-hmm. And she don't need none with Rafe. Like, no,
and
I'm not.
The thing about that is I'm not so concerned about her coming back with a bun in the oven. I'm concerned about her coming back with a baby in her arms. Because I feel like there's been enough time. I mean, considering how fast Abby has went from pregnant to showing a bump, that at the pace the show is being written at, the child could be fairly large and in her arms, and
Sammy Kid could be in college.
Well, if they sore ass him the same way they did EJ, they could. But I agree. I do not want Sammy to have Rafe's kid, and whether inside her stomach or in her arms. I just think that would be a big mistake. I would rather see her relationship with her other children developed. I mean, she's got so many of them. Why do we need another one? And Rafe is such a boring character. There was one small, short era in which I really liked the character of Rafe. Other than that, it's a dud the rest of the time.
All right. Okay. Stop. Josh? I'm stopping you right now. No. I'm stopping you right now because I know where you're going with this. Look, Rafe is there to stay. So let me finish. Rafe is there to stay. So leave that be. All I'm saying is Sammy don't need
I was not going to say anything about getting rid of Rafe. I was just going to, like, I just don't think the character needs more kids. Josh, what do you think of?
You don't have any kids.
Well,
what are you talking about?
The character of Sammy does not need more kids, specifically with Rafe.
She don't need no kids. I'm like, she don't need no kids, period, right about now. Like, but I do want to know what is keeping her away. Like, we'll get back on track with that. Like, leave Rafe be now.
Maybe she's scared of hope.
Please, Sammy ain't scared of hope.
I was joking.
Don't do that no more, child. But
Josh, it
just makes you wonder for her to say, to use that lame excuse and be like, I'm so ashamed of what I did. Sammy don't give a damn. So I'm like, What you hiding, girl?
Josh, what are you thinking of John and Marlena's wedding preparations and the Sammy developments?
I think that Ron using the history of the 30th anniversary of John and Marlena's original wedding to do their next wedding was brilliant, along with the 30th anniversary, of Kayla regaining her hearing at her and Steve's wedding to have Steve regain his sight. Those were just lovely little nods to history. I love John and Marlena cooing around. And
No. She does not coo.
She mews.
There you go.
And then she was on the phone with John when she was in her office before Ben came in for therapy. And she said, I love you so much. And I thought, oh, Lord, have mercy. She's talking baby talk to John on the phone. But that's Doc
he might
and John.
Need it.
But I do love the fact that, you know, not to cut you off, but I love the fact that this is like Hope and Marlena are kind of like at odds.
Yes,
so you know when Sammy,
it's really
so
good.
You know when Sammy comes to town, that's just gonna make it worse because Marlena's like, look, I feel you. He choked up my grandbaby. I thought my grandbaby was dead, but in my opinion, this is what's happening. And Hope's just like, Hope is just too pissed off, and she's just like, I can't believe you're doing this. And Marlena's like, look, bitch.
I know.
I can't do what you want me to do. So they're at odds. They're putting, like, it's almost as if Ron is setting the blueprint for when Sammy comes to town, mm-hmm. and Hope, like, acts like the true bitch that she is to Sammy. And Marlena's going to be like, look at here now. Like, you blame your man. My girl only got up on her ex-husband because he told her that y'all aren't together no more. You need to blame your man and keep your man away from my gal. Like, I feel as though they're going to set that up. Like, it's going to be like a side war type thing. Like, and I'm loving it. Like, I really do hope it is like a side thing, because I hate when the town, like, makes Sammy the pariah when it's two fucking guilty parties in here. Like, Sammy only got up on Rafe because Rafe told her, yeah, me and Hope ain't together no more. Like, you can't get mad at Sammy for what Rafe told her. You know what I'm saying? Like,
what's also going to make that interesting, though, is the fact that it would seem logical that Sammy and Hope would be on the same side about Ben versus Marlena. Opinion yeah. about Ben. So all of a sudden you have Hope not liking Sammy because of what happened with Rafe, but at the same time, you know good and well that Sammy is not going to be happy with these latest developments about Ben being in town.
Yeah, so, but then, you know, I feel as though they're going to be on the same side, but at the same time, Sammy's going to be like, look, your gal is the one romancing this damn killer. Like, And y'all talk about me and eat. Like, I could just see Sammy shit. Like, if Ron writes it well, you know, he done wrote 20 years ago, so who knows? But if it was written where Sammy says, you know, y'all check tried to come after me for what EJ's done. This motherfucker strangled all these people, and your daughter is out here romancing him. Like, she thinks she fancy face Junior and he is Bo Brady. Like, I would love for somebody to just like throw that up in like her face or something. You know what I'm saying? But I just hope that they play it well, where the town is kind of like divided with this whole Rafe and Hope and Sammy thing. And especially with the monkey wrench that is Ben Weston thrown in there too. And then when we were gone, Chriselle Staus is coming back as Jordan Ridgeway. I'm like, she need to have some of Rafe's baby. Sammy don't need no Rafe baby.
That could work. Josh, then,
You know, I was going to say, and then there's a couple things there. They are lining up the town because Marlena had a conversation with Kayla where she said, I would never change my opinion because Hope wanted me to. And Kayla said, of course, you're a professional. I thought they are lining people up.
Yes.
On either side of this issue. So you've got that. And then you have now Kate and Gabby, who have made a deal to be partners.
Yes. Ooh, you know it would be.
And when Sammy comes back, those three have teamed up before.
You know what would be cool, though? It would be cool if you found out that Sammy was the mastermind behind Gabby going batshit on Abigail. And, like, for Kate to be like, can you believe that little bitch blackmailed me? And for Sammy to be like, that wasn't a part of the plan. And Kate be like, what? And she'd be like, do you really think that girl got that idea from her damn self? Come on, Kate. And for Kate to be like, oh, my God. And for Sammy to be like, look, I got you. I got you. I'm going to get you out of this mess. I just hope that the blueprint is just put there. Like, they Day's got a lot of shit that's going on that is so juicy.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And then, you know, someone brought up how Eli was like spitting rhymes, like, all I want to do is make love to you. I'm like, a 90s video? Like, what is this? And then, you know, Abigail, I'm keeping my baby. I'm like, okay, Madonna, simmer down now. It's like, sit down.
And then you've got Bonnie, Hattie, and Sheila coming back too.
Oh yes! My God, I can't wait for that.
Let's talk a little bit about General Hospital. Brianna Nicole Henry is taking over the role of Jordan, which is being exited by Vanessa Anton. I'm looking forward to seeing how the new chemistry works between her and the actors that Jordan tends to appear opposite of. Jillian, what are your thoughts on the casting?
I'm like, colorism is alive and well, I see. Like, when I saw her, I was like, oh my God, she's beautiful. And then I'm like, what is different here? I'm like, what's different here? What's really different? And like, you know, someone was like, oh, I don't see anything different. Like, no shade. Like, they white. The person who said that, I'm like, you wouldn't see the difference. I'm like, their shades are totally different. If you go, like, listen, memo to all of the shows. If you're going to hire somebody that is taking over a role, can you at least get their hues right? I'm like, damn. I'm like, she damn near yellow bone, and Vanessa with her chocolatey self. I'm like, oh God. And I'm just like, this just smells like a Frank thing. Like, Frank probably saw everybody getting buck about Michelle Morgan and was like, oh, they ain't gonna do that over here, and decided to just randomly grab somebody. I hope the young lady who plays her does a terrific job. She seems cute and nice on the IG and all that, but I'm just like, she already coming in under some sketchy circumstances with the Hugh thing. I'm like, damn, like, didn't somebody pull somebody to the side and say, I don't know if this gonna work, boss? Like, God, like, that just irks me when people do that. It pisses me off in prime time. It annoys me in films. I'm like, God, daytime, can't y'all get it together? I'm like, damn. But I just hope she does a good job. She already cast, so it is what it is. It's not her fault. I just want to let people know I'm not blaming her. I'm just blaming the fools over at GH. Like, damn. Like, can't y'all get it together? Ugh.
I hope for her sake she comes in gangbusters.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, because otherwise, oof. Yeah.
Josh, on the Performer of the Week episode, you talked about Chloe Lanier and Nell's, like, complete collapse of everything that she had built around her. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. What are you thinking of how this is all playing out?
The unraveling of Nell was one of my favorite things that happened in the last week or so, simply because with as much of as a roller coaster of a mess as this storyline has been at times, Chloe Lanier, I think, really pulled it together in the last couple weeks or so, where she just completely lost her shit. And giving of the baby, I was always trying to figure out how this was going to happen. I had read spoilers, obviously, about Nell and Michael's baby being given to Brad, but to see how it was done was really interesting. And to watch sort of Nell have one of the more intimate personal conversations that she's capable of having with Brad, I thought was really good. But the confrontation, the showdown at the OK Corral with Carly and Nell was quite good. And I thought Nell held her own against Carly, even as Carly went after her, because lots of what Carly was saying, as it usually is, was really not her lesson to teach. But but she did a good job. It was good, but it's all very our crimes don't matter, but your crimes do kind of stuff.
We're gonna come back to Brad, because that whole part of it really frustrates me. But Jillian, what did you think of Nell, Nell's life collapsing around her now that the truth is out?
I mean, this is a good way to usher this young lady off. It played out well. I will give GH that. I mean, you know, I'm equal opportunity. I'll give you and I'll take you, you know, I'll take it the way I'm going to give it to them. It played out pretty well. So, I mean, like you said, Josh, Carly giving her a lecture, I was like, baby, you really better pray. Jesus is like, girl, I'm on the phone for not zapping you, because I'm like, you are really lecturing somebody on something. I'm like, girl. Carly Babes blew up lives in Port Charles that are just starting to friggin' heal. Mm-hmm. I'm like, girl, you better sit your ass down. Like, that blew my mind. Like, oh, that's why I kind of wish, you know, sometimes I kind of wish that Robin was like, they didn't make Robin and Carly friendly, because, like, Robin would have been like, yeah, Nell's a hot mess, but bitch, you wasn't no better. Or, you know, Brenda would have done that too. Damn, I miss me some Nessa. Bring Nessa on, y'all.
And then Carly bragged to Nell that at least she seduced Brad. That at least, she seduced Tony. She did what she came to town for. That she had to drug Sonny, but she didn't have to drug Tony. And I was like, that's the point you're going to make? That's where you're going to go?
Child, yes. Yes, child. Oh, and FYI, Jeannie Francis is coming back, y'all.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let's talk a little bit about the Brad and Lucas component of that storyline with the adoption. Brad gets the baby home and it dies very quickly before Lucas has even had a chance to see it. He ends up on the side of the road with Nell. Nell, basically, they cut a deal and he goes home with this child and is now faking the fact that this child is his husband's nephew's child and passing it off as the one that they adopted. And
it's some juicy shit. On one hand,
and this is why I'm conflicted about it. Cause on one hand, this is classic soap trope, And if this was a heterosexual couple, I would totally get it. It's just like, but on the other hand, I'm thinking to myself,
what?
Brad and Lucas get almost no storyline. Everything about this adoption storyline, everything about their wedding is either short-sheeted or feels rushed. And then we now have this child and suddenly it dies and the gay couple is now caught up in a story about adoption fraud. And okay. It just is on one hand, I get it's classic soap trope, but on the other side, I was cringing as I watched it because watching Brad, who I've always considered to have fairly good integrity most of the time.
Brad Holmes!
Weird because I've gotten to the point with those two characters where I was like, okay, they're a very stable couple. Yes, mm-hmm. They both have some checkered past, but they're pretty stable for the most part. And I don't know. I'm conflicted about the story. So
okay, wrap it up, lady. Now look, Josh, you want to jump in and tag team him? I set it off because I'm like, what?
I just want to say that here's the thing is that I don't really get the I like Brad. I like Brad as a character. I don't really the integrity bit. I don't know so much get, here's what I love about this. These shows outside of Days of Our Lives tiptoe around the gays and they give them storylines. You got to have the gay wedding that you're going to come in for, the gay adoption we're going to bring you in for, or we're going to bring the trans person in for 2 days to tell a story that doesn't make any sense. But finally, General Hospital is inserting the gays into a story that has nothing to do with them being gay. It's just a normal storyline that a normal heterosexual couple would have. And suddenly we are allowing the gays to not have a gay storyline, but a storyline. And that's why I love that it's juicy and they're in the middle of it because it's just what you would have with anybody else. We're not suddenly go ahead.
Testify, boy. Go ahead.
No, they're always trying to set it up for some GLAAD award because GLAAD likes to say, oh, look, they did this for 5 seconds and we're going to give them an award. But they're finally doing what Days of Our Lives does so well, which is making the gays a part of a lead storyline that has nothing to do with them being gay.
And from that standpoint, I completely agree, which is why I said if this was a heterosexual story, on one hand, I'm enjoying it because if this was just a heterosexual component, I would be eating this story up. It's just that, I don't know, my mind when I saw it happening was like, oh, here we go again. One Life to Live had a serial killer gay, and now Brad is doing this, and he's on the canvas.
I'm stopping you right there because you contradicting yourself because you said they never really get storyline. They're going to be in a front burner storyline. Mm-hmm. The storyline is going, and when the aftermath hits, they're still going to be played out. They're still going to be, after this whole, like, when the shit hits the fan, they're still going to be in this story. They're still going to be front burner in the ramifications. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have storyline for a while. So I don't see the problem with that. And like Josh says, they always have to make the gays altruistic and so earnest. Why can't they have some bitchy gays on there? And this is this. And you said that Brad is a stand-up guy. I was like, bitch, where? Brad, this is in Brad's wheelhouse. Brad's ace was Britt.
Right.
Brad's ace was Britt. So Brad, this is all in Brad's wheelhouse to do some sweat, to do some scheming, and to save his own ass. Mm-hmm. So I have no problems with this whatsoever, because that's the pathos of his history.
So Brad, and that's why I said earlier with Brad,
when, you said he was a stand-up guy.
Like, for the most part, in recent years, he has. But true, with Britt, he was not. And so, like, for that character arc, I felt like this is a character even that has grown from the point where he was with Britt.
When he was with, you saw he blackmailed Dr. Finn, what? That was what? A couple, like, 2 years ago?
Two years is a long time in soap years.
No, but you said this is not, that he's a stand-up guy. Brad did this when he was married to Lucas, that he blackmailed Dr. Finn. So him taking a baby, this don't shock me at all. I feel as though this is good damn drama, and I'm sick and tired of the gays. Like, it's almost as if daytime is like, okay, we gotta have the gays on, but we can't have them bitchy because people are gonna be mad. We can't have them scheme it. Gay people scheme and do some shady shit too. Like, I don't understand why they put them in this bubble. I like this, because when this plays out, this is going to pit family against family. And this is good drama. I have no qualms with this, because, you know, we know Brad is the scoundrel that does this. But what if GH plays this out where Lucas finds out the truth? And at first he is like, I can't believe you, Brad. But then he keeps quiet his damn self.
So that leads to a question that I want to ask both of you, because sometimes, very rarely in recent years, soaps will hold on to a secret and let it build for a number of years and then have it explode. Is this a story that you would like the paternity to be something where the kid gets to, say, 5 or 6, 7 when he's in grade school and
We just said yes.
Because to me, as I was watching, I was like, okay, if they're going to do it, the most emotional impact would be if they waited until this kid can be portrayed by an adorable little child,
knock it off. Couple of years. Like, that's what Sally Sussman Moreno wanted to do with Christian. She wanted that to play out the years, and that would have been juicy. But so then here come Pretty Little Liars, man. Mal Young was like, fuck that, and blew that shit up. But I want this to play out for some years. Mm-hmm. I want it to be a situation where Lucas finds out, and Brad's like, what are you going to do? And Lucas says, I'm going upstairs and I'm tucking my son into bed and we won't discuss this any further. And you'd be like, oh, bitch. Like, you see, like, the Jerome in him, and you see a little bit of Bobby Spence in him, because Bobby was a scheming bitch. His mama, he get it from his mama. His mama ain't no shrinking violet. So I have no problems with this storyline at all, honey. Like, I don't care if gay, straight. If it was straight, I'd be like, here we go again. But I'm glad that the gay boys are doing something. I'm glad this is going to set them up with a story like for front burner shit for years. Like, I don't see what the problem is at all.
And Uncle Michael could also be close to the child.
Yes.
Like, and then to what you were saying before, Luke, they are showing growth in Brad. Because Brad before wouldn't have flinched at this, and this version of Brad is actually struggling.
That was my point.
So he is growing, but he's still going to give in to that nature.
Jillian, what did
that's
you?
That's his underhanded nature.
Jillian, what are you thinking of Kiki's trial?
Kiki, do you love me? Let me. I will give GH kudos.
Stay in the car, girl. Stay in the car.
Oh, I ain't getting on no car doing that shit. Like, I don't understand. I'm like, you people are crazy. Like, I'm not doing that out no car. Like, get out of here. But I digress. I'm loving Kiki's trial. I like the fact that Scotty Baldwin is like, you know, Scotty, You show that Scotty has some sort of decency. Scotty looks like he wants to throw that damn case because he can't stand Bench. I love the fact that they're doing the Me Too thing here. I will, you know, y'all say I go hard on GH, but I'm also fair. I will give them kudos for them doing the Me Too thing because I don't see any other shows doing that on there, like, doing that period, and that's so prevalent right now. I doubt CBS will be doing that. I mean, I'm just being real. I doubt CBS will be doing that, but I'm liking this storyline. Like, and Haley Aaron, you know, y'all know I used to get that girl shit, but she's actually grown on me because of this storyline. I'm like, go ahead, sis, you growing on me.
Thank you, Jillian.
Girl, stop.
What did you think of Ava finding... Josh and I touched this a little bit on the Performer of the Week, and we want to go into it, but before we go further, since people have already heard that part of that conversation, what did you think of Ava finding out about Griffin and Kiki?
Ava needs to ether her daughter, and she needs to just... She needs to, like... Griffin is so smug and sanctimonious. I want Ava to just ether their worlds. Like... When Ava Jerome was coming on, I was really hoping for a Faith Roscoe type person, but a little bit lethal. Like, you see this coiffed and well-polished art dealer by day, but at night you see this hellcat in the alleyway pistol whipping some flunky for not getting her shipment in on time. I feel as though... Again, I don't know, you know, GH will do, you know, GH will zig when I say zag, fool. They'll jump when I say duck. So who knows how they'll play this. I feel as though Ava finding out could reset her into being that scheming bitch, into being like, you know, a scheming bitch again. I mean, she still is, but I feel as though this storyline, it could make Ava get her bite back. Like, she could be that lethal bitch.
And allow them to introduce Lorenzo Alcazar back into the fold as her new man.
Oh, Lord. Lorenzo, don't.
Right. I'm like, those two would be an amazing pair.
I'm like, Ted King, where you? Why isn't he on a show right about now?
I don't know. I need to investigate.
Don't worry. I'm going to go. The street's going to tell me. The Twitter street's going to tell me. Because I'm like, you ain't on no show. He would kill on B&B. He would be.
I wouldn't wish B&B on anybody.
Shut up. I said what I said. He would be fire on B&B to go up because there ain't nobody who could go up against Dollar Bill Spencer. But he would be the ticket. He would be a boss on Dave.
See, I would love him on Y&R.
He'd be great. He'd be fantastic on Y&R. He'd be a boss on Days. Yep. I'm like, why ain't he on? I don't understand this. Oh, Lord Jesus, I don't get it.
Josh, any final thoughts on the Kiki harassment trial before we move on to Y&R?
I just think Maura West is a boss. I think, as I said on the other podcast, and I'll say again because it bears repeating, I just thought she was going to unhinge her jaw and swallow Kiki and Griffin because that the facial work, the good face that she was giving when she got that text from Franco, who also, Roger Howarth, did amazing comical work this week when he sent those text messages accidentally. And that was all very good. But I thought Maura West just turning it on at Ava, where you just saw the fire returning to her eyes and that jaw set when she looked up at Griffin, who at first she was upset for and sort of nervous for. And then she turned on him like in a second.
Yes.
But then kind of teary-eyed out in the hallway when he told her he loved her and she said, I know. And he goes back in and she's kind of trying to compose herself because she wanted him to love her.
Because she knows the truth.
Yup.
She's tearing up because she's like, this little bastard. I'ma kill him and I'ma love doing it. Like, she's tearing up because she's like, oh baby. She's tearing up because like, oh baby, when I finish with your ass, you gonna wish. You ain't
I love it. Speaking of tearing up though, Jillian, Hillary has passed into the great beyond.
Oh Lord, she gone to the upper room and Devon has just let me tell y'all something. I'm still not here for Y&R. I'm not here for Mal. I'm not here for what's his name? What's that man's name? Oh, Lord, the Sony man. What's your name, Chow?
Steve Kent.
Steve Kent, thank you, darling. I'm not here for Mal Young. I'm not here for Steve Kent. And I'm damn sure not here for Angelica greenlighting them, killing her off. I still think it's petty and vindictive. And I said what I said. And it ain't no bullshit. I feel as though what they did was bullshit. However, I will say this. The aftermath, I'll give them this, because the aftermath had me like, ooh, Jesus. Mm-hmm. When Devon, when Shauna, let me tell you, when Shauna set that bitch on fire and told Lily, bitch, you don't care about Hillary. You glad she did, because you caused it. And Lily's all, and Shauna dropped that tea. I said, woo, Lord. And when Devon just read them, when Devon was like, I want to hear what Shauna got to say, and Red Lily and Red Kane, and oh, Phyllis jumped in there and fucking told Lily and Kane about they ass. Oh my God, Y&R was fire with that. I loved it because I didn't think they were going to do that. I thought Devon was going to find out and be like, it's okay, and they just sweep it under the rug. But for Devon to just put his foot on their necks, oh my God, that was juicy. And I love the fact that Neil is trying to play peacemaker, but Neil was just like, when Neil told Kane, when Kane's all trying to still save his ass, Neil was like, this your fault. What do you mean? Are you seriously sorry about it? Yes, it is. Because your default is to lie. You're telling me, yes, your default is to lie. I said, bitch. Woo, it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then when Devon fired that bitch from this company, I screamed. I said, oh my God, Hillary's ghost got into Devon and just got into his petty child. I'm like, oh, Devon being the smug, sanctimonious little jackass annoys me. But for him to be this bitter shrew, woo, I'm loving it. When he told Lily, bitch, you got to go. Oh, I love that. And when he told Kane, I want her under the jail, I said, oh, Jesus. I screamed. I was like, oh, my God. I started speaking in tongue talk. That was fantastic. And then when Kane tried to swing at him, and Nate, who don't have nothing to do, Nate finally jumped, like, they gave Nate something to do, which was to chin-check Kane. He threw Kane on that table and was like, bitch, I know you mad, but don't be doing that up in here. I loved it. Y&R was actually kind of, like, the aftermath is juicy. It just pisses me off that they had to sacrifice a fabulous character such as Hillary for it. But I ain't gonna lie, this is, like, Brighton is putting in some work, child. And that girl who plays Shauna, I don't know what your name is, baby, but you putting in work. I'm so like, you know, me and a friend were going back and forth over that because they were like, well, Hillary caused her own death because she let them screw. I'm like, first of all, they didn't screw. Hillary was like, bitch, y'all line up in my house. That's what they got in the argument about. And I like the fact that Shauna checked Charlie punk ass when Charlie's like, you didn't have to do that. And she was like, bitch, you letting your mama and daddy think we fucking and we ain't doing nothing. You a punk like your daddy. You was a buster like your mama. Like, I love it. I love the fact that she is just setting shit off. Like, she could be a mini Hillary in the making if they go there. Like, I love it. I agree. Ooh, Y&R was pimp. I ain't gonna front, y'all. Yeah, I'm still mad at them, but they was pimp. I could still be mad and watch you.
Meanwhile, Josh.
Yes.
Summer is trying to get Billy and videoing Phyllis and trying to set Phyllis up with Jack. And Kyle, meanwhile, is being wasted.
Oh,
thoughts on them, Josh?
Very quickly, I will just say that young lady's name is Cameron Hamm that plays Shauna, because she was at the top of my honorable mentions list. She is doing work. She is doing work.
I better lock her ass into a contract. You know, they do stupid shit and don't lock you in a contract, and then somebody else snatches your ass up. I'm like Lamar and Archie. So yep. Go ahead and fuck around with that one, but
lock her in.
Summer.
Now I got to talk, Summer and all these. So to me, this is the side of Young and the Restless that I'm completely bored with. So Kyle, who has this beautiful, hot man that's on this show, who has nothing to do but follow Summer around, who doesn't care anything about him and for some reason hates her mother and some reason wants to sleep with her mother's boyfriend. We have no motivation. No, nothing. We had this whole setup that she had this married ex-boyfriend in Atlanta and she stole this car and she came over here and we've gotten no follow-up from any of it.
I could see if the boyfriend, this would have been perfect if the married, if you found out that Phyllis found out that she was fucking some married man and she threatened to tell the married man's wife, or Summer found out that Phyllis did tell and that's why she's mad and want revenge. But I'm like, why are you so mad at your mother? I'm like, you are acting like a complete bitch. The person, I'm like, when you were on here last, wasn't the person she should have been mad at? I'm trying to think.
Nicholas and Sharon she was mad at because of the baby switch for a little while, and then she was on because of her baby switch.
Shouldn't she be mad at
Abby slept with that guy that was her husband that ended up dying.
No, but then she was with Arturo, so I'm like, is it Arturo? No, Arturo's the other guy. Arturo's the one that Abby messing with. The other guy that Luca Santori. I'm like,
oh yeah.
Shouldn't she? Why are you mad at Phyllis? Phyllis didn't make that Santori man play you like a game of chess. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm just watching this. There's no motivation. There's no rhyme, no reason. The only thing that's making me happy about this storyline, because in my mind I'm like, when Phyllis finds out what you're doing, she don't give a damn that you her flesh. She's going to scorch the earth that you've come on. Like, you are going to get the Phyllis treatment, baby girl. You've never gotten the treatment. You've only seen what happens, but you're gonna get it yourself. And Phyllis is going to fuck her world up, and I can't wait for that, because I'm like, when did you become so enamored with Billy?
Yeah.
I'm like, this is so random and out of nowhere.
Phyllis makes her pay, but Phyllis is so busy being courted by every man in Genoa City, because every man in Genoa City suddenly wants Phyllis. I'm not really sure what that's about either. So Nicholas,
and I'm not on board for Phyllis and Nicholas reviving their past at all.
I was very happy with where
Nicholas and Sharon were headed, and then they had to do this. Ugh.
I thought they were going, when they had Nick and Sharon shored up, I thought, okay, they finally grow Nick up, and they're going to put them together and keep them there. And that was just some random bullshit. I'm like, y'all just doing random things. Just sprinkle random. Like, I don't like that at all. I really did want Nick and Sharon to just be shored up, especially when he turns ruthless, because, you know, Sharon's like, he's turning into his father. And it's like, bitch, you're also Nicky 2.0.
Yep. Yep.
I thought they were really going to do that, but it's just a bunch of mess over there. I don't understand. It's just a bunch of mess. Nikki is acting like a pod person.
I'm
like, girl, a few months ago you was getting your back cracked by Arturo and Victor blackmailed you back into that ranch. Now you're, I love you. I'm like, are you high? You was mad as hell that Victor flaunted his hoe in front of your face. You was mad as hell, but you said, I'm going to take that one for the team, because I'm getting this young buck. And when Victor found out about Arturo, Victor tried to destroy him and you were pissed. Now you all in love. I'm like, girl,
they really made a mistake by going away from, I loved Nikki and Victor non-romantically involved, but devoted to their relationship and their family.
My thing was, I like their little arrangement. I kind of wanted to see, they needed to do this, and I don't care if Eric don't like it, because you need to tell Eric, this is called The Young and the Rest, it's not Eric and them. I really wish they had made Victor and Nikki work for their relationship. She's back into that ranch and stuff. They have a fake marriage, but you saw that Victor was jealous. I wanted Victor to work for it. Victor needs to work for shit to get shit back. That's what I've always thought. His name is Victor. new man for a reason. We needed to see him. I mean, I know this.
Oh, that's
this
good,
is the, you know, you, I know. God, look, I ain't trying to compare him to him, but this is the only thing I could think of right now. But we saw Stefano rise from the ashes. We needed to see Victor lose it all, his family and company included. And I felt as though they were going that way. And for him to just bounce back, like work to get them all back. And you see why he chose the name Victor Newman, not getting people by default. I don't like that. Like, that would have been juicy storyline to see. I don't understand why they're not doing that. I kind of have an idea why, but
that would have been an amazing origin story, yes, actually, to remind the audience who doesn't know why
who don't know
that. Yeah.
Totally. That would have been great, you know, for I don't know, for Kyle to, like, try to underestimate Victor and then, you know, or Billy, because Billy's in the driver's seat, for Billy to be cocky and think that he could take Victor and Victor show him, bitch, I've been doing this before you were even a little swimmer in your daddy's jock strap. And for him to show him, this is why I am Victor, that Christian Miller is no longer here, and I am Victor Newman. And for Jack to just sit there and be like, yeah, Victor got your ass good, boy. You needed that lesson. Like, for even Jack to just sit there and be like, damn, like, Victor didn't have to play you like that, but you deserved it. Like, you know what I'm saying?
And they've just dropped it. They've forgotten. Victor's like, I don't know her. I never know. Yeah. I don't know. Like, they just dropped it. They have a whole story like that, and that video that they put out, that little Charlie put out about Dina and the storyline with the dad, like, they just dropped all of it with no resolution.
I have a feeling that's going to come back up. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
But they did drop it just drastically. Things they tend to drop a lot of things over on that show, and it's just annoying. I mean,
So one quick question to wrap things up. Billy has been dealing with his gambling. He's been making rash decisions, in at least in Ashley and Kyle's viewpoint, about things at Jabot. He's now wanting to launch 30 new stores. What are you thinking of that element, Josh?
I think that if I never hear a derivative of Jabot, Jabotique, Jabot, stop it. Stop it.
That's John's terrible. Ghost needs to come out and slap him and say, stop this, boy.
I think that it's fine. Like, I actually like Billy trying to find himself as a CEO. I don't really mind that. I actually don't even mind him sort of bowing up against Phyllis. At least he's showing some backbone.
Although, so here's like my question. Billy. Here's where I'm curious if you guys have a sense that this might be headed, because it's something that crossed my mind. Hypothetically speaking, Nick has said that he would not get involved. Well, this isn't hypothetical, but he has said he won't get involved with Lauren because he's wanting to focus on real estate. All of a sudden, Billy is now going to be opening 30 stores across the country, and we have a storyline in which Ashley is concerned about it, like, overextending Jabot. And who is it that is at Dark Knight with Nick now? Jack, do you guys think that we're headed for
stop. Okay. I get what you're saying. They did have Nick at one moment look at trying to help Lauren out, and then he was like, no. Then they also had Phyllis, or was it Ashley? One of them two heifers talked to Jack about Billy and this Jaboutique foolishness, and Jack said he was going to look at, like, the suppliers or something to try to slow Billy down. So it seems as though they're trying to do that, but my thing is, with this whole bullshit, is Jack needs to pick a lane. You either are with Dark Horse or you're with Jabot. You can't have it both. That drove me crazy with Ashley. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why someone on that writing team doesn't tell Mal, hey, Ashley's at Newman. She can't dip and dabble at Jabot. That's a conflict of interest. She's either over at Jabot or she's over at Newman. They finally have her over at Jabot. Like, when she gave Neil insider tip, Victor should have fucking ethered Ashley's ass for that. Yep. He should have been like, baby mama or not, bitch, you can't be doing that. Like, Victor was a stickler for that. They just let that go. Dark Horse, same thing. I feel they need to pick a lane. But I feel as though with Dark Horse, I feel as though there's Dark Horse with these boutiques, I feel as though they're setting up a situation where Lauren is going to use that as a way to get out from under Jabot, because yep. Lauren has been saying vocally she don't want to be with Jabot no more. She wants to be a free agent again. I kind of wish they would have her be a free agent, because
see, I'm wondering if it's going to be one of those things where the real estate that Nick is buying up is going to be the real estate that Billy is trying to rent, and Jack is going to block it. That's my that's one of my hypothesis theories.
And that's what Jack said he was going to try to do. So I would kind of like, it would be kind of fly for, you see, now this is what I think. It would be kind of decent if that the whole, you find out that Billy finds out that Phyllis hunched Nick and he all mad and stuff, and he tries to go after Nick business-wise, but Nick shows that he's his father's child and he buys up all the land or all the real estate that Billy is acquiring for the Jabot Boutique. I can't pronounce half of the things.
When that came across on my TV, it's like, I am never going to pronounce that.
Yeah, the Jabot Boutique, the Jabot stores. It would be kind of fly if Billy tries to rub it in Nick's face and Nick be like, and, you know, you find out Nick is like, you know, I'm going to talk to, you know, this company that, you know, that's doing the real estate. And then he turns around and he's just like, hello. And Billy be like, what the fuck? And he'd be like, yeah. And Nick check him and Nick be like, you are damned. If you even a second late on your rent, bitch, I got you. I got you by the short hairs. I got your woman. I had your woman on that table and I got your ass in a swing. Like, that would be kind of hood.
Let me ask you both another question then, because when Michael Muni, Justin Hartley were on the show, Adam versus Nick as the next generation of Victor versus Jack was something that many of us wanted. Do you think that Nick versus Billy could be the same?
Yes, I think if they write it well, I feel as though they have a blueprint for them to set up a Nick versus Billy thing with the whole Phyllis thing and Nick stepping out on his own. I feel as though they have it. They just need to play it. They just need to play it out. They could have Billy using that company as a weapon and Jack be like, don't do that now, Billy. Like, Jack tries to, like, counsel Billy and say, Billy, trust me, I did this with the mustache and you are going to lose. Mm-hmm. And for Billy to be like, I'm not like you, Jack. I'm not a punk like you, Jack. And Jack be like, oh, okay, bitch. And he'd be like, I'm not a punk like Nick either. Nick is a daddy. Like, for Nick, for him also to underestimate Nick and for Nick to just ether his ass, Nick just happens to check him and Billy just be like, you know, Billy buying all this stuff and leveraging Jabot, and somehow Dark Horse owns a percentage of Jabot, and Billy be like, fuck, and for Nick to be like, look, bitch, you must not know about me, like, I ain't your, you know, I ain't your brother, I ain't my daddy either, like, I got you, like, they have the blueprint. They just need to play it well. I feel as though if they give Joshua Morrow the material, he could bring it. We all know Jason Thompson could bring it. I feel as though they're going in that direction, but how they take it, it will be.
Josh, you're going to get the final word on this, and then I'm wrapping.
It also negates the need to resurrect Adam for the 85th time. If you let this go for a little while, I'm just saying, I'm not saying you don't ever resurrect Adam. I'm just saying for right now, let Nick play this out. Because if you bring back Adam right now, then Nick's Dark Horse crap just goes away and Nick goes back.
They cancel each other out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let Nick grow into trying to be the mustache. And then right when he's on the verge of being the mustache, maybe then you resurrect Adam.
That's not a bad idea, because my issue with this storyline, if they were to pursue Nick versus Billy as the next Victor versus Jack, is I feel like Billy's the only person who Nick could actually beat.
No.
With the exception, like, if you look back, with the exception of his, like, this recent thing with Victor and then the class action where it was him and his sisters, when have you seen him in a boardroom really have much success?
That's what I'm saying. Like, if they give it to him, I feel as though they could do it. Like,
well, no, I think they could. That's what I was agreeing with what Josh was saying.
Hold on. I don't feel as though Billy's the only one. I feel like Billy would probably be the only one they have him do it to, because who else he going up against? He ain't going to take down his sister. He ain't going to do that to her. Who is he going to do it to? Devon ain't going up against him business-wise, although that would be kind of juicy.
It would be.
That's a part of my wishful storytelling. Yes, kids, I know I said I was going to write something on Twitter. I'm going to go and do it. It should be up this week. That's a part of my wishful storytelling. I'm going to hint, but they don't have a bunch of other people, you know, in the corporate world in Genoa City. I feel as though if they had more there, we could see how this would be played out. Nick's not going to terrorize his sister. Who is he going to go up against? Lauren? Lauren just want to be free to run her boutiques, child. He's not going to go up against Devon, because Devon is like Switzerland. Devon is pretty much like Switzerland, and it's the only other billionaire in town if you can't get no money from Victor. So Nick ain't going to piss him off. So that only leaves Billy. So if they have more people there, I feel as though Nick could be a contender. They just need to write it.
Mm-hmm. On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at DaytimeConfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, Twitter.com/DC Confidential. Like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/DC Confidential. You can find me on Twitter at Luke_Kerr. Jillian is at Jillian Bo, and Josh is at Dr. Joshua 09. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Get under that jail, Lily. Get under that jail, you bitch. Get under there.